Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful we can come together and just praise your name, look into your word, and just honor you. Lord, we pray you truly be our teacher, move among us, and really teach us the deep things of your truths. Lord, I pray that each heart would be open to receive. I pray you'd anoint me with the Spirit. I just speak things of the Spirit. So we give this time to you and ask you to move among us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Can you all believe this is the last Sunday of 2024? I don't know what happened to 2024. Oh, my goodness. So it's amazing. I think the time truly does pass faster when you get older. It's like, oh, my, you know, warp speed. So here we are heading into 2025. My goodness. My goodness. As I was thinking about the message this morning, I thought, what in the world? I was looking the years that pass, the years that's coming, all the things that happen. And I was just asking, you know, the Lord, what's something good that we could, you know, look at? And it just came to mind. I don't know. I'll give him the credit. But anyway, it came to mind. He says, you just need to be living by prayer. I thought, well, that's good. You can't go bad with that. Okay, that's a good title. Okay. So the title of this message this morning, as we wrap up 2024 and head into 2025, is Living by Prayer. Just living by prayer as Christians and what that means. So I want to look at this and see, you know, some things that the Lord's telling us about that. And what honor we have to pray that go before. Boldly go before the throne of Christ and pray. And he says he hears us. And he says if he hears us, he answers us. So we know he hears us. We know he's answering us. So I think it's good to look into that and just really ask the Lord to teach us more information, more things about how we can, we have enough information, but how we can connect, you know, with the Lord and to walk with him as he sees fit. So the verse I wanted to start with is Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. And it says this, "The king said to me, 'What are you requesting?' And he says, 'So I prayed to the God of heaven.'" Now, this really is, you know, a statement here. "Then I prayed to the God of heaven." It may be one of the most beautiful examples of spontaneous prayer in the scriptures. Right? It's just like, I prayed to the God of heaven. I prayed to the God of heaven. And so when you look at this situation that Nehemiah was in, he literally is standing, he was the cupbearer, if you will, for the king of Persia, okay? So that had a lot of, you know, responsibilities with it, and so there's a, you know, relationship there, but he was in the court. And, you know, we forget when you talk about kings and stuff, and we all, you know, we vote for presidents and stuff, and we have a say in everything. Like, it wasn't so back then. It didn't work that way, okay? It's like when the king, I mean, he had, you know, all he had to do is just say the word, you died, say the word, and you were given something, say the word. And it was his absolute, total control, and no one would ever cross him. And if they did, they were really concerned and scared. If you remember Esther, Mordecai says, listen, you have to go before the king and tell him, you know, what's happening. And she says, you can't. Esther's the king's wife. She says, you can't go before him. You can't do that. You know, says, if you go before him, he says, you'll die. And that's what she said. She said, oh, that's how you. So the picture of Nehemiah, when he is before the king, you know, he is watching every word, and he has a connection with the king, but, you know, he's always on shaky ground. He's always on shaky ground. And that was across the board. If you think about Joseph, he was for Pharaoh, you know, and when he was in jail, the baker and the, who was the other guy? Just slipped my mind. The baker and, y'all know this. What? Cupbearer. And the cupbearer was like, you know, if you will, Nehemiah, the baker and the cupbearer, where they were in prison because they said something that the Pharaoh didn't like. So they had dreams, and he said, okay, kill this one, let the other one go. Now, the reason I'm saying that, I just want you to know, when Nehemiah is up there and the king goes, hey, what do you request it? He's going, oh, shoot. Okay? Because it's like, you got to be careful what you say, and this is the authority that you're standing before. And so what we have here, Nehemiah standing before the king, and he's really caught off guard. If you read the whole section, he's caught off guard by this question. It's like, okay, I wasn't thinking about this. You know, the king just kind of saw his face was kind of down. So what's going on? You know, and so he is really caught off guard by the king when the king asked him this question. And so Nehemiah, standing face to face with this king, uttered a prayer. So that's the context. You're standing face to face. He said, what do you want? And he uttered a prayer. Now, what's important here is the prayer and the answer to the prayer would in fact impact all of Israel because they were in captivity. So his prayer was, hey, what do you want? And he goes, pray to God. You know, and it's like, and we see afterwards the impact of what he prayed, what was huge, was huge. So the lesson, the lesson to us should be clear, should be really clear, is that whatever situation we face each moment, day by day, prayer to God should be the first thing that comes to our mind, should be the first thing that comes to our mind, all right? And notice here, and it's important to notice here, it says, so he prayed to God. Nehemiah did not go someplace and have a moment, a silent prayer. The king says, what do you want? He says, oh, hold on, king, I have to go and I need to spend time meditation and get right before Jesus or get right before God and can pray and then I'll talk to you back. Or I need to, you know, they didn't have telephones. I need to get some people to pray for me. And then we'll come back to you. That didn't happen. Couldn't happen. That couldn't. So I just want the situation. Nehemiah, what do you want? And he prayed immediately. And he got immediate answer. Nehemiah spontaneously, immediately prayed in his mind. And God likewise gave him an answer. It's immediate, just like that. It was in his mind. He said, dear God, I need a word from you. I need you to show me what to say. I need you to show me how to say it. Dear God, in his mind. Couldn't say it out loud. He's right beside the king. See, it's in his mind. Dear God, help me. That's the lesson to us in our situation. Right then, immediate, and the prayer should be immediate. Dear God, help me. But I'm saying to you, it's like this. See, I just prayed. I didn't say a word. And God heard it. Nehemiah prayed in his mind, and God heard it and answered it. Now, that is the kind of position and place we have with God going before the throne. All right? And I love, you know, as things go on, I'll call up and get on the prayer list and pray for this, want people to pray, you know, and say, okay, I need the time to be with the Lord and need to pray, and that's good stuff. But what I'm telling you, you can do, you can just go before. And right in the middle of a difficult situation with everybody listening, in your mind, you pray. And God answers. See, we need to know that. We need to know that. And so that's a lesson we see here with Nehemiah. So the king said to me, what are you saying? What are you talking about? And Nehemiah says, so I pray to the God of heaven. Amen. Everybody got this? Kind of. That is what is, and so that's how we should be as people to understand at any time, any place, we pray to God. Now, that is living by prayer. That's living by prayer. Well, I live by prayer because every day I do this at this hour and do this and I spend time and it fits into my schedule and I make my schedule. Well, that's good. That's not bad. But that's not what I'm talking about. It's you're immersed in living by prayer in every situation. You're giving it to God. God, lead me in this. God, guide me in this. God, show me in this. And the Lord is with you and present with you, and you're constantly in communication, and you're giving thanks to Him. Would your world change? Plus, when you're praying like this, the Lord is hearing, and He's, I will answer you. So, number one, your view is changed because you're constantly giving it to the Lord, praying. But actually, things are happening. See, and that's part of our problem. We don't think anything's going to happen. We don't think anything is happening. And if we don't see it happen right then, you know, we think it didn't happen. When, in fact, it does happen because God says, I hear you. I hear you. And if I hear you, I will do what you say. You know, there's other things tied to that. So here we have this picture, and this is living by prayer. And we should always pray immediately in our mind for God's guidance. Face to face with our situation, God will answer us. God wants us to bring every impossibility to Him. Now, you guys and the, or gals in the business world, and we've talked about before, you know, and it's talking about, Linda and I will specifically, we'll pray the Holy Spirit. Say, God, go before us, and you get in, you know, meet with these people, you prepare, we pray this be a divine meeting, you know, and do that. Well, this is kind of the same thing, but what's a little different about this is like, okay, God, give me the words to say, show me what's happening, you move in this, God, and show your power. I want to see your power in this. I don't know what to say. How many of you have been in meetings? I don't know what to say. I don't even know why I'm here. Lord, I want to know what to say. See? And so God will answer that. Somebody said, well, God didn't say anything. Don't say anything then. You know? And so God is telling us here a whole different dynamic about who He is and how we should walk with Him. This is how we should walk with Him. You know why we don't walk with Him like this? Because we got better ideas than He does, don't we? I fix this. This is what I'm going to do. And this book we're doing for the men's study is really good. Even if you can't come to study, you are by the book and read it. Because his whole point is God is going before you, and God is doing the work for you, and what you're doing is cooperating with what God's doing. You're joining Him in the work, and so you're hearing from Him. So that's the whole vision. Okay, so this is Nehemiah's situation. This is Nehemiah. So this is what's happening. And so this is really, really the lesson for us, is that living by prayer is just, I know I'm driving, you know, kind of into the ground. But if you were going with your wife, or if you're not married, you're going with a friend, and you're talking and you're going into a situation, you are very aware of your wife with you. I mean, if you're staying married, you are. Or maybe I should put it this way. I'm very aware when my wife is with me. And I'm very aware she'll let me know if I'm not aware. Okay. So what I'm saying is, God is saying, that's me. I'm walking with you. I'm present in this situation, and I want to be connected with you, and I want you to pray to me, and I'll give you the answers you need. I'll lead you where you need. That's living by prayer. In speaking of wives, it says there's a thing that says lives with your wives in an understanding way. Guys, we know what that means, don't we? Nobody nodded. Well, you guys, we know what that means, don't we? Live with your wife in an understanding way? All right? Okay, if you're not going to, you're going to have heck when you get home this afternoon. Okay? See, because what it is, it's saying you understand where she's coming from. You're alert to where she's coming from. Now, I know, too, and that always worries me. You know, I do this with the Lord. Why don't you tell her to live with me in an understanding way? Go ahead, try it. Doesn't work. I just let you know, you know, so he's telling. So So here's the whole bit. But the point of it is the reality of our relationship with Christ. It's an ongoing relationship. And living by prayer is something you're constantly taking things before Him. Lord, I want to know what to do in this situation. Lord, give me guidance in this situation. This whole thing's falling apart, but Lord, I know You have it, and really show me what to do. So there's a calmness of walking to God, walking in prayer, and that's what Nehemiah was doing, and he was in a very difficult situation. And also, we learn to pray like King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat, the king, and he's in a terrible situation, and his armies were coming, and we talked about that before, and it's going to overwhelm him, and it was a surprise attack, okay, if you will. Now, here's Jehoshaphat's prayer. Second Chronicles, have it up there. Second Chronicles 20:12. We do not know what to do. Ever been there? We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on You. There it is. There's that. Well, I don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. Therefore, because Your eyes are on Him, we're okay. We're okay. See, because wherever we go, You're okay. I'm here. I've got You. What's the problem with that? We don't believe He's there, and we don't believe He has us. Therefore, the panic. But if we believe He's there and He's got it, we're okay. Don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You. You know, hey, Nehemiah, what do you want? Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. What do I say to the king, the greatest king in all the world? What do I say? Dear God, give me a word. And He did. He did. Now, so that's the dynamic of living by prayer. Living by prayer. How many, I'm confessing my thing. How many, I don't know if you do this or not, but you have prayer list. You know, so prayer list. And I start out well. But after a while, you know, you pray. I go through the first two. Lord, You know what the rest of them are. I've been through this yesterday. You know what it is. So I just hold up a sheet of paper. Just take care of them. You know, kind of loses its, you know, power with that. You know, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But what this is, what we're, and I'm not against prayer lists. I have a friend of mine, and I talked to you about Bill Wright, and we were all made different. And what he would do, he prays every morning for every nation in the world. He just goes, God's working in every nation in the world. And I think, and He even gave me a list of all the nations in the world. And I'm saying, holy smoke. You know, I was definitely holding this sheet up. Okay, God, You take care of the world like that. I mean, I don't know how to pray for the world. I mean, I want to pray for y'all, but I pray for Greg, and he takes all my time up. I don't know how I can pray for the world. You know, I can't get off Greg. So people got to be made different, okay? You're made different. But the point of it is that we live by prayer. In our situation, where we are in our sphere, the Lord is there and working through our sphere in our situation, leading us supernaturally. And so He wants us engaged with that. And I am firmly convinced that sometimes when things happen and we go, oh my gosh, why did this happen to me? Why? I think sometimes this happens so it brings our attention that say, we got to call on God to get out of this. That's why it came. He says, you're not listening. You don't know I'm there, so I'm giving this because you're going to have to call on Me. And when you see Me work, then you'll be more tempted to keep Me in your forefront. So He's doing things to keep our eyes on Him, And so it's a kind of a training session. So this is living by prayer. So God answers our immediate prayer in our immediate association, you know. But so life was full of situations like Nehemiah. full of situations. And we should feel like to walk with that and have that relationship with Christ, that we can carry on that conversation and give everything to the Lord. Now, there's other things too about prayer, you know, like living in prayer. Sometimes, you know, things happen, same things come across, sometimes there's things that's really complicated, and so you have to bring those to the Lord. You need to spend time to work through that. Those things also happen in life. They also happen. And so there are times when you need to be alone with the Lord and just go through a whole list of things. Lord, what are you showing me? Or a whole list of things falling apart or whatever, that you need time with the Lord to process through this. And again, I think a lot of times these things happen so we will get alone and process through them. All right? Because the Lord wants our attention. The Lord doesn't have any difficulties. His problem is getting our attention. I love it when the kings came to Elisha, I think it was, and they asked him this. He goes, all right, this is an easy thing for the Lord. That's what he said. Well, that's a little flippant. He goes, this is easy for the Lord. See, the Lord's not having issues, okay? The only issue the Lord has is getting our attention. That's it. That's his only issue, okay? And so once he has our attention, then he empowers to do great things through us because we connect with him. All right, but we're not robots. He doesn't come here and make us do things. He gets our attention. So do we come to him, listen to him, call out to him? He said, you know, you call out to me, I answer. You call out to me, I hear. You know, like, I hear if you say something. Now, so you have this whole thing that's going on. Now, Hezekiah shows up. This is really fascinating, what Hezekiah's prayer, and then Hezekiah, kind of like Jehoshaphat, you had his situation. Well, Hezekiah had a similar situation, and they just surrounded him, and so he was in a terrible situation, a terrible problem. And so you got the king of this country that was conquering everybody, and so he just writes him a letter. I mean, he just jumps into God and says, God's not going to help you, gives all these reasons. This is what I'm going to do to you. This is what we've succeeded for before. You guys can't get out of your own way. And so he writes this letter. So the guy writes this letter to Hezekiah. He's surrounded. They can't get out. He's surrounded. So Hezekiah gets this letter. Like, holy crud. You ever received a letter like that? Like, ah, you got to be kidding me. Something in the mail comes in. So Hezekiah received this letter presenting this devastating situation. But what Hezekiah does here, he shows us how we should deal with our unsolvable problems or, you know, any matter facing us. He shows us how we should handle it. Look at Hezekiah. Isaiah 37:14-15. So he's got this letter. Hezekiah's got this letter. And imagine, too, he's got this letter, and everybody's looking at Hezekiah, you know. Okay, king, what are you going to do now? You know, have you had any people get around? He said, okay, what are you going to do now, Wally? He's like, I don't. You see, well, this is where Hezekiah was. So as Isaiah 37:14-15, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. There you go. There you go. That's what you do with those letters. You know, that's what you do with a notification that you've lost your job. You know, that's what you do with all the other, you know, devastating things that come. You know, that's what you do with them. You do with what Hezekiah. Lord, I can't, there's nothing I can do. I can't deal with this. There's no hope in this. And God says, yeah, there is. Because this is a small thing. This is a small thing for the Lord. And so because it's a small thing for the Lord, you get on your knees and you lay it on the floor. And you give it to the Lord. See, That's what Hezekiah did. He just laid it on the floor and he prayed to the Lord. How many of us have received the distressing letter or news? Like Hezekiah, we should take that letter and spread it before the Lord and pray. That's what we should do. I've actually done this very thing like several times. I mean, over my life, I've done it several times. And where something would happen and just lay it out. Often, when I have faced really, really difficult situations, you know, I would write it out on a piece of paper. I just write the whole situation out. And then what I wrote on that piece of paper, I would take that piece of paper and I'd lay it on the floor. And I'd get on my hands and knees and I lay my hands on that letter and pray. You know, that's what Hezekiah did. That's what he did, see? You give it to him because it's impossible. It's a small thing for him. And so you don't know what's going on around you, but you know that he hears you and that you've prayed and you know he's working. You know, you're confident that he's working. So try, and it's amazing sometimes that when that happens, sometimes when that happens, you almost can feel the Lord lift it off your shoulders. Lift it off your shoulders. Another thing similar to that, that I have personally done, that works kind of this same way, is, you know, when you're walking around and something's just heavy on you, you know what I'm talking about. You walk around and you just feel like it's just carrying. You can't get it off of you. It's just carrying. And so the Bible says, give it to the Lord. And it's like, he won't take it. I mean, give it to the Lord. And I will often, and I'll just picture it in my hands, whatever the problem is. I'll just picture it in my hand. I'll just hold up, it gives like it, and I'll just do like that. Now, for me, there's several times that the pressure just went away. Just that action to the Lord for me, just give it up, Lord, and just went away, and I'm okay. But I thought, nothing's changed. What happened? I gave it to him, and he took it. But for me, it took that action to do that. So the whole thing, remember what this is, just living in prayer. This is all this is. It's just living in prayer, and you having that, and having that relationship with Christ and giving him all the difficult situations. Now, so again, the principle is, what you see, the principle is that the Lord cares for you, is working, and I'll use this, moving on your behalf. He wants us to call out and walk with him, and he'll move on our behalf. Well, why didn't he do it before we call out to him? Because he wants us to know that he's doing it, and he's doing it because we called out to him, and there's a unity in relationship with that. See? I'll just do it. You know, there's no relationship. He wants a unity of relationship with that and wants us connected with him and walking through these things. And that being, you know, like, okay, we'll keep it, you know, shallow. I'm good with shallow. Real good with shallow. Then you get really tough, like, well, do you really believe it? Do you really, really believe it? See, and God moves us to that point, so there's a depth. He's building a depth in us to depend on him in really deep, difficult situations. Amen? See? But it's life. It's living. You know, it's living in the presence of God in whatever the world throws at you. Now, what I'm going to do is, I even struggled about presenting this part of the message, but I'm going to read to you a scripture that talks about living in prayer, and it's in James 13 through 18. And the reason I had a problem about presenting it, I thought it went well, you know, with the message, but the problem I had with presenting it to you is like, I don't do this. I mean, I don't do this really good at all. And so I don't know if I should be telling them because I'm not getting it done, you know. But it says what it says, you know. So it says what it says. So I'm as convicted as you're going to be. And And so what basically it says in James 13 through 18, and it really shows us that we're not to live under the world's oppression, we're to live above the world's oppression. It doesn't take the oppression away, it's just we're not supposed to be under it, we're supposed to live above it. But the choice is ours, the choice is ours. And again, I wish I could say I fully live these out, but I don't. However, I fully believe they are God's truth, and I strive to keep my eyes fixed on those truths. I try to really keep fixed and keep focused on that in my walk with the Lord. So that's my effort of living in prayer, that my eyes are fixed on it, even if I don't do it very well. But I'm going to read the first one, verse 13. We'll go through all the verses here, but I'm going to read James 5 through 13. Now, the whole thing is on prayer. It's on prayer. And the Bible's full of places on prayer. We could just go so many places. But I'm going to look at this at James. And it says this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Now, there's something that jumped out at me on this. And I don't know, it's so fascinating that it jumped out at me. But it's like, okay, somebody's suffering, and so I'll pray for them. Pray for them, right? Okay? Amen? That's not what this says. It's not what it says. And I looked at that. That's not what it says. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. I'm thinking, I go rich. I say, rich man, I'm suffering. Man, pray for me. You know? But that's not what this verse says. It says, you suffering, you pray. You pray. It's your issue. It's your deal. It's what the Lord's doing with you. That's what's happening to you. You pray. God, open my eyes. Let me see. You pray what God is doing. That's what it's saying. So his point is the person, you pray for yourself in your relationship with God in the suffering. And it's, oh, by the way, if you're cheerful, sing praises. And I think that's interesting. Things go well. Well, you're praised. You just sing praises for that. You should be. You sing praise. Hey, I'm joyful. I want Rich to go sing praises for me. Well, that's not what that says. It wants me to sing praises. If I'm suffering, it wants me to pray. And if I'm cheerful, it wants me to sing praises. See, all believers are to do this. Prayer connects our inner being to God. I'm suffering. Dear God, see what happened? I connected. Immediately, like, why did I connect? Did God just show up? No, he'd been there the whole time. But when I say, dear God, I open up to receive what he has. See? So when you're suffering, you turn, say, dear God. Your inner being connects with God. And you're joyful and say, oh my God, thank God. That's all that you, this. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. You see? We should thank God for what he does for us. Amen? See how personal this is? Now, okay, so we have the picture. Now we're going to step over, and this is, and I present this because the dynamic is fascinating how the Lord presents this. It's all walking with the Lord in a state of prayer with the Lord and see him working in our life. He's real. He's real. But now he kind of shifts gears here, and it's with sickness. With a sickness, more support is needed, and the elders of the church need to be called. Now, in this section, I think, well, that's interesting. And it says this in James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders. Now, see, before, let him pray. Let him offer praise. But here, if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, here you have just God has pulled the elders of the church, and the elders are the ones who have overseer of the church. He pulled them into this whole thing of living by prayer for them to be a part of the prayer and the support in this situation. Now, through God, so I'm looking at this, though, it was interesting. Through God, elders as overseers have positional authority to exercise the power of healing. They have positional authority. We have, it's funny, you and we in this country, fortunately, we have it. You have a president, election, you have another president. And so you have an elect president, you give him honor. Then you have another president, you give him honor. What are you giving honor to? The position. The position. See, and God is saying that the elders, there is a position, and then because of the position, I'm going to work through them on behalf of the church, on my behalf. You see what the Lord is saying? You're overseers, and so he's going to work through the elders, and he's going to use the elders to have a ministry of healing because of their position. Not because of them, because of their position. Interesting. So, in the church, elders have also been given pastoral responsibility that comes along with healing. Now, I want you to process, because it's a dynamic what we're seeing here, that the healing, okay, that the authority that the elders have is positional, and also the authority to healing comes with a pastoral responsibility, so that you're putting your arms around the people, not just, hey, get better, see you next week. No, there's a pastoral responsibility for the people. See, it's more than just healing. That's the reason it doesn't say, oh, in the Bible it talks about the gift of healing. So we want the people need healing. We'll get some people with the gift of healing, and you call them come. Doesn't say that. It's called the elders. Why? Because the elders have a pastoral responsibility, and they'll oversee all the parts of your life, all the things you need. They'll put your arms around you, hurt with you, walk with you in that, because they're overseers of the people. Making a difference here. See, and also it says here was something fascinating, and it says anoint with oil. And how many of you ever wondered about that? Why does it say anoint with oil? And I've heard all sorts of people say different things about it. Just anoint them with oil, you know. And I would do it because the Lord said do it. You know, I'm into this thing. God said, do it, do it. I don't know why, but he said, do it, so I'll do it. But all of a sudden, and this actually came out of the New Testament, out of the Old Testament, where it talked about anointing with oil, and I think there's some insights why it's telling the elders in this situation, in their pastoral work, to anoint with oil, the people that come forth. Well, biblically, you anoint somebody with oil when into a ministry. And it says, it's interesting in the Old Testament, I think it's the book of Exodus, it says you come and anoint them with oil, which you claim them for ministry and that they are qualified for ministry. So, like, they'd come in and they'd anoint these people with oil and say, you've been claimed and you're qualified. And you anoint with them, and you're acknowledging that, then they go forth as claimed and qualified, anointing with oil. Make the same application here in healing. Elders anointing with oil carries the same idea. People come forth and they say, I'm sick, things are going wrong, God doesn't love me, I've done something wrong, this is terrible. God hates me. Why did it happen to me? And we come in and the elders anoint with oil. We're saying, no, you're God's. No, you're qualified for healing. See, that's what it says. You're acknowledging them. Said, no, this is an art. You can't. You're under God's ownership and you're qualified. That's why you anoint them with oil. You recognize them as part of the body, that they are, put it this way, are special before God. And they're thinking, and then they see how many illnesses and sicknesses are self-induced. And no, this is not on you. You are God's child. You're qualified. And so the elders are saying in a pastoral responsibility, you're qualified. We're going to pray for healing. You're under God's ownership and you're qualified. And so they have this picture, the pastoral sits there for him. And so when we see this with this healing prayer, elders extend pastoral ministry. Now, it's like, okay, Wallace, that took you long enough to get there. But what is it? What you see where in the prayer, it's not just getting better. The prayer is being overseeing and showing love to and pastoral care to be given. Not just in and out, you're done. You see, it's a walk. It's a walk. And it's a walking with the Lord. And so then this kind of what, there's no overhead here, but this is what, so he immediately says this. With that mind, there's a pastoral responsibility here. It says in verse 13, James 13 through 16, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Did you ever wonder why that was in there? Because he's with the elders, and the elders are walking him through what's going through his life. You know, he said, listen, there's a pastoral ministry here. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Do you see the pastoral, the responsibility there? That's the point. So you have this whole thing that the Lord is working the church together, work the church together. Now, again, I don't want to lose sight of what our title is. This is living by prayer. See, this is living by prayer. And what this thing when people are sick and those devastating things or whatever happened, the whole church is pulled into that. See, the whole church is pulled into that and with concern. And it is pulled in by the representation of the elders that oversees the church, that oversees the church. Now, it also says here, we offer the prayer of faith. Now, how many of you read that? I don't have enough faith. They don't have enough faith. And it's like, ugh. We offer a prayer of faith. Now, think about this. Faith. Faith is hearing from God and acting on what we hear. See, if somebody, you need to have faith. Well, if you have faith, you need to have heard something. Okay? And then you need to act on what you heard. Like our salvation is by faith. You heard something and then you accepted something. You heard, you acted. Okay? And then that creates faith that's yours. Like that. What's in everything in life? And it's what the Bible tells you, you see, is truth. You hear it. And then when you act on it, it becomes faith. Hearing, there's nothing. Okay? If you don't act on it. And if you act and don't hear, it's just presumption. See? So, the whole thing, you pray in faith. So faith is hearing God and acting on what we hear. Now, of course, we pray in every circumstances. Any somebody comes, pray for me. Well, I don't know if the Lord wants me to pray for you. No, you don't do that. Whatever they say, you don't know what faith they've got. You pray for every individual because God's taking care of that. Okay. However, we also ask God to reveal to us anything else we should pray. See, you pray for somebody, the elders pray for somebody, and that's definitely what they're talking about here, like confess your sins to one another. Go, why are they saying that? Because you're talking to them, you're ministering to them, and then you pray, say, God, is there something else that I should pray for them about? Is there something else going on in their life that I should, I know they want me to pray that they have this terrible ailment, and I pray for that. Is there anything else I need to pray for? Lord, just, yeah, pray for this, or bring something to mind. Or something, yeah, pray for this. See, you continue. How did that become a prayer of faith? You heard something, and you prayed what God told you. See, so God's taking this really serious about living in prayer. Listen to prayer in faith. You have to listen. You have to hear something. You have to hear something. Now, you know, somebody come in and say, I want you to pray for me, pray such and such, and I don't believe this Jesus stuff, but this is, I want you to pray for me. Well, okay, we're glad to pray for you. Love you, brother. Da da da. But we need to talk about this Jesus stuff. You know, this Jesus stuff, because faith is connected to this Jesus stuff. So we need to, you know, broach that with you in his prayer. God, to pray for you. You know, we'll pray for you. But there's some things you need to really understand. Do you know the Lord can move? Do you know the Lord? Do you know what Jesus said? He comes up to somebody, and I still think this is crazy. Walks up a guy, and he needs healing, and he comes up to Jesus, and Jesus goes, "What do you want me to do?" You think Jesus knew? Think Jesus? No, he wanted him to say, what do you want me to do? He had to say it. See? And then once he said it, then Jesus is all right. And then he could move with him in that. So we see this. And so before we pray, we should listen to God so that we know how to pray and then pray what God tells us. Now, so this is the whole package in this. Everybody gonna say amen? Now listen to this next verse. Knock your socks off. Okay, here's the literal interpretation. This is literally what it says. It's not going to be exactly what your Bible says, but it's literally what the original language says. James, we got this prayer, okay? Okay, God, we're moving forward in this. James 5:16, the last part of it says this. The prayer of a righteous person is great power working. You won't say, "I just like to see God work." He goes, "Hey, Wallace, won't you pray?" You know, "I want to see great power. Won't you pray?" The prayer of a righteous person is great power working. I mean, that's like, just think about that. I've given you everything. Use it. You got it. Use it. The problem is you not using it. It's not you have it. You're not using it. And you go, my goodness. When we pray, the Bible tells us, John, we went over this in John. When we pray, God hears us. Okay? Then he says, if God hears us, he'll do what we say. Now, and it says, a righteous person. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Who's righteous? Who's righteous? We are. Well, that's what made you righteous. I'm covered by the blood. See, I'm covered by the blood. So, in all my weaknesses, I'm qualified. I'm qualified for great power working. Because I'm righteous, I'm covered by the blood. I'm totally forgiven. God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we would be as right as God. I want to be more right than that. You see what I'm saying? It's amazing when you put it all together. And God is, what he's doing, he's trying to tell us who we are, and for us to exercise who we are and to believe he's working when we pray. When we pray, he moves the universe and everything around the earth to do what he needs to do when we pray. He says in John, when we pray, he says, "I hear you." That's what he says. And he says, "If I hear you, then I will do what you say." Now, of course, this is under the Lord's will, and we're not praying for stupid stuff and like that, but we're in connection, we're walking with God in prayer. Now, therefore we say, since God hears us and we are righteous of the blood of Jesus, our prayers are great power working. Therefore, we should be living by prayer. Everything should be, prayer should be on the tip of our tongue. And again, it's just a thought. It's like, okay, I got to go home and get in my closet and pray for 30 minutes. No, it's immediate. Just like me and Nehemiah. That's our life. Immediate. And of course, when those devastating letters come, you can lay them out on the floor, put your hands on them, and say, "God, this is yours. I can't do this. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. And so the Lord is showing us this is true. And if you believe that, then you look at James and go, my gosh, this is what he's saying. This is exactly what James... See, James, you know, James just kind of has a focus on the Jewish people when he wrote it. It's a definitely Jewish focus on the book of James. So James knows about Nehemiah, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah. Those are all guys he knows. So when he writes it, it's just like those guys. This is what we do. Just like those guys. But this is us. This is us. This fits us. And this is how I expect to work. Now, just in case you don't believe it, just, okay, that's good, but, you know, I think so-and-so will answer this person's prayer because they're better than me, you know, they work harder for Jesus, you know, they behave. I pray that, you know, Greg, I think he'll answer more his prayers because Wallace prays for Greg all the time. He doesn't have any time praying by else, just Greg because he's time. I love Greg. Look what, all this stuff has been given, and we're going, wow, wow, the prayer of a righteous person is great power working, all of us. Now listen, this is totally connected to the thing on prayer. Totally, it doesn't fit any place in the scripture. It's talking about nothing else. It's talking about this section of scripture. And the James knew the Old Testament, and he's using the Old Testament to drive it home so we won't be confused. James 5, 17 through 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was special. No, he wasn't. He wasn't special. He was not special. He was not special. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months. And it did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore fruit. Elijah. See what happened to Elijah? Because he believed, and he lived in prayer. But he's just like us. That's what it says. He's just like us. Elijah is considered by the Jewish people one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. And James, no, he's just like us. He's just like us. So here's what we should do, you know, is that we should just have prayer on the tip of our tongues in every situation. Anything that comes up, Lord, to give me words, show me what to do. Keep me calm in this situation. Help me to understand what's happening here, what is going on. I need to call upon you. If I'm supposed to say something, say it. If not, don't say anything. I don't want to say anything. See, and all of a sudden, we are cooperating with God in a whole sphere of things and allowing him to work. You know, to get him to work, get him to work, we had to do? Major Ian Thomas, you know, the book. To get him to work, what we had to do is quit doing our stuff. Just quit. That's it. Just quit. You know, we're in the way. We're in the way. Now, so we'll close with that. And just, here's, you know, I think that the Lord has laid on my heart for 2025. For me, it's like, Wallace, you just need to be living by prayer in every situation. Every situation. Not getting uptight about them, not being concerned, but just live by prayer and see me work. See me work. Do what you're supposed to do, but you just walk by prayer, live by prayer, and see me work. And you'll be astounded at what you see. Because it's an easy thing. That Elisha, it's an easy thing. It's an easy thing for God. So we'll close with this. And I edited this a little bit, but look at Colossians 4:2. It says Elijah was just like us. So in 2025, we need to live by prayer. Colossians 4:2. Continue living by prayer, being watchful. Pay attention. He's moving heaven and earth. Pay attention. Being watchful with thanksgiving. with thanksgiving. In Thomas, I bring this up because in this book, Greg relate to that. And one of the things he'd always say, you just walk before God and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, I just thought, you silly old man, you can't say thank you, God, all the time. You know, it's just like, I'm not thankful all the time. But that was his point. No, you say thank you, because he is doing something being what you understand it. The son of a gun that you look here, Colossians 4:2 says the same thing he says. You know? And then that just drives you crazy. You know, it's like you think somebody's doesn't have their act together and actually quoting scripture to you. Continue living by prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving. You live with prayer and it, oh, watch it, something's happening. Watch it, something has happened. Now, in our world, we expect something to happen now or yesterday. You know, it's like, no, give it that. Something's happening. Watch it. I'm moving the pieces. Open your eyes. Watch it. Be excited. Be thankful for what's happening. And God's people said, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And we look at this at prayer, Lord, and it is amazing. It is amazing when we look at it. And you know, I think in theory, we all agree, God, you can do everything and you can move and you're taking care of all things. I think our problem is that, no, you love me and you're doing things for me. See, I think it's like we can believe God's doing it for the world or other people. But no, I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for you. I just want you to, I just want you to continue in prayer and be watchful and thankful. Be watchful because I am moving and you are my people and I'm moving in you. You are my special people. You're the apple of my eye. You're cleansed by the blood. I can never, never turn away from you. So we give you thanks for our salvation, and I pray a blessing on each person here for a wonderful, powerful 2025. In the name of Jesus, amen. I think there's some refreshments in the background.